Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bill the Engineer, not here today. One of the rare times when we're actually in the studio, not having Bill. But we have his son. So Eric, the producer, is here to man the controls for Scuba Radio today. Eric, you ready?
I am ready. I'm half as good as my dad, and I'm much better looking.
You are indeed. You got your rubbers on.
Indeed I do. I never go anywhere without my rubbers.
Exactly.
So Bill's DNA is actually here.
Yes, as far as we know. And you're not adopted, right, Eric?
I haven't found that out. I've been hoping, and every Christmas, that's what I beg Santa to bring, but has not come yet.
Adoption papers? Really? Wow. Well, you know, when you take into consideration his dad is Bill, it all puts it in perspective. So who can blame him? As you hear there in the background, CJ is here.
Let's bash the guy when he's not here.
That's what it's all about. And 2 hours of ball busting. That's what we do here every week on Scuba Radio, isn't it?
Usually.
Yes.
Now, yeah, why not? Why not?
And CJ, one of my dive students, obviously he was with me last week as we broadcast live from the Florida Keys here in Marathon. That was a good time, wasn't it?
Oh, man, back to reality. This week kind of rough to get back.
It kind of sucked,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah,
it did.
After after lounging around in the Key West marina, what was it? The yacht club.
Yes, the Key West Yacht Club and Marina.
That was nice.
Very, very nice, indeed. Yeah, we need to talk about some kind of therapy or something that divers can go through after a cool dive trip. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of ease you back into reality.
Something to get you back into the workday grind where you don't feel like you want to go postal. You know what I'm saying?
I usually use rum.
Rum, anything to kind of
numb the senses.
That's the word. Obviously, I've had too much rum already today. But yeah, I mean, I came back to Homeowners Association hell.
Oh, no.
And, you know, CJ and James, you know, this might be a little bit, it might come under the TMI category when it comes to us doing the show. But look, let's face it, this radio show, Scuba Radio, is about my life. This is what I do is I go around and dive all these places in the world. I tell you about them. You kind of come along for the ride. And it's usually focusing on the good times that we have. But there is a certain amount of reality that goes into anyone's life. And when I go on some of these, you know, cool trips, whether it's the Bahamas or down to the Keys and catch some lobster, I have to come back to reality when I get back home. And I just so happen to be caught in a homeowners association nightmare.
It's a poop storm.
It is a absolute poop storm. I think that's the technical term for it, actually. And it's driving me insane. Which doesn't really take too much.
Yeah,
if you've listened to the show for the last 12 years, I'm not far from that category anyway, or that that state of mind. But I got to come up with something to help me ease back into reality when I'm coming back home after these trips, because I'm going away and I'm coming back, and God knows I love my family, and that's sometimes a strain on the whole travel schedule that we have here at Scuba Radio sometimes, but I'm coming back and you know, like I come back and a guy in our neighborhood actually accused me of single-handedly bringing down his property value.
That's ridiculous.
That is power, my friends. And I thought I had power as a scuba diver, as a dive master, as a dive instructor. I didn't know I could single-handedly.
So he told you that.
Yeah, I single-handedly have brought down his property value. Not President Obama, not the economy.
Greg the Dive Master.
Exactly. That's that is just goes to show you the power one can possess.
Does your wetsuit smell that bad?
Well,
is that the deal?
It's actually his lack of wetsuit.
You know, he didn't really explain why, but maybe that's the problem. After a weekend down in the Keys, and you've been diving, and you didn't really have a chance to properly dry out your wetsuit.
Yeah, you gotta dry that stuff out.
And it's been sitting in the trunk of the car for 4 days, and it comes back as a little ripe, and you throw it in the garage, and it starts, starts wafting, the odor starts wafting out.
Stiff wind kicks up. And
it's like, what the hell is that smell?
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need to be more sensitive to my neighbors.
Maybe wash your stuff out.
Well, I just buy something new.
All right.
Yeah, that's one of the perks of the show. I get free stuff all the time, so I don't know. But it's crazy. So, I'm thinking we start HOA radio. What do you think?
All right.
Homeowner Association, should we save that for another show altogether, or do we deal with any of this? As you can see, I'm just venting. I'm a little scatterbrained today.
Yeah, I'm sure people are tuning into Scuba Radio to hear you talk about HOA stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess I ought to get my head straight.
Focus, man.
Focus.
Get on it.
On the escape. That's what I'm going to do. If I'm not going to go diving today, I'm at least going to dive in my mind.
That's mind diving.
So, all right. So there you go. And by the way, if you have any suggestions on how to get back into reality after a cool dive trip on a liveaboard or whatever, I want to hear from you. 888-88-SCUBA. What do you do to get back in to work mode?
Maybe you build in a couple of pool days.
Couple pool days,
some cocktails. You don't work. You don't go. I have a day job. This is your job.
Yes, but it's stressful.
I mean, just blow off the HOA stuff.
Oh, you think it's what it is? Maybe I just shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn! Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, come on.
Maybe I just need to schedule another dive trip.
Yes,
that's what it is. Okay. Well, I will say the one thing that does kind of keep me on track sometimes when I get into that frustration, experience that frustration, I always have something else to look forward to. Now, you may not have the luxury that I do to be able to travel every couple weeks, because you don't do a radio show about diving, but I will give you a little tip that I use. And I always have something to look forward to, no matter what trip I'm on. So I always have, like, the trip that we just did in the Keys. And before I've finished that trip, or even before I leave, I have scheduled something else after it. You know what I'm saying?
That's planning.
Yes. So we had our trip in the Keys. And before we went, I locked down all my travel plans for our next live aboard, September 26th, in the Bahamas with Explorer Ventures. We're doing Wild Dolphin. So I do that. That's how I kind of – and then when I get home, if I – have to experience this chaos in my HOA, at least I know, well, I'm going to escape again on the 26th, and I have something to look forward to, like there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
You know what I did?
What do you do?
I blowed bubbles in the bathtub.
Really?
Yeah.
And you did that with without any contraption
without
my mouth.
Yeah.
Wow. Once again, I think that comes under that TMI category, doesn't it?
Hey, we're sharing here.
Okay.
We're bearing it all.
It is kind of therapeutic. I mean, I'm feeling much better about myself.
Yeah. I mean, just think last Saturday, a week ago, we were at the dock at Captain Hook's and Marathon.
Right.
And now we're back to the closet.
Yeah. We're in a closet with no ceiling. We have neon lights blaring down. It's probably giving us cancer right now.
Well, they're more fluorescent, but I know they
ultra violet lamps.
Ultraviolet.
Yeah, they're eating away. They're killing our brain cells.
Pass the rum.
Yeah, mother's milk. Yeah, that's what we call our milk is our rum to get us through Scuba Radio.
You know, rum backwards is more.
I never thought about that.
Not really.
That makes
it's like more like myrrh.
I guess it is.
Like frankincense and myrrh.
Okay.
I just derailed.
Beautiful. Well, like you said, it is all about sharing. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff we did after our broadcast last week in the Keys, because the trip wasn't over. We were only about halfway through. We had another 2.5 days to experience the Florida Keys after last week's live broadcast from Marathon.
Yeah.
And we got to thank the folks at Captain Hooks once again. Now, you brought up Key West Marina and
Yacht Club.
Yacht Club, yeah. Key
Dive,
West Yacht Club
Dive
and Marina.
Key West was real good to us.
Yep, and we dove the Vandenberg. And
you dove the Vandenberg.
Well, you dove it too. I just didn't see it.
I hung out on the line.
Yeah, and that actually was our first dive of our trip in the Keys. And you hadn't been diving in a while.
Yeah, I couldn't clear.
And you had a little clearing problem, so you ended up hanging at the safety stop.
But
there.
I had fun in the current.
Yeah.
I was like waving like a flag.
And you had some little fish there hanging out with you.
Yeah. What were those? Like little baby jacks? Or
they're little baby fish.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're baby fish.
You're a little over my head with that.
Well, the technical term, baby fish.
Little baby fish.
Yeah, little baby fish. No, I don't know what kind. I must say jack. Sure, why not?
Because I was like,
sounds good to me.
Telepathically communicating with them, and I was like, where's your mama?
Yeah, and they thought you were.
Yeah.
Because you were a large object that they were gathering around.
Yeah, they thought I was going to feed them.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if they thought you were going to protect them.
Yeah.
You were going to provide shelter.
I did a pretty good job of that.
Well, you did. I mean, I came back and I said, look at all those pretty little fish around CJ.
Yep.
And so he was communing with nature while we went down and checked out this Vandenberg, which, you know, I mentioned last week is probably one of the best wreck dives, if not the best wreck dive I've seen to date.
Yeah, it's definitely the best wreck dive I've never seen.
Yeah. Well, hey. And
I was just above it.
You were just above it. You knew it was there.
I was really as close as you could get.
You could sense it.
I was as close as you could get without physically seeing it.
Yeah.
I saw this kind of.
It was just out of his
visual range.
Yeah, visual range. Because we had about, I'd say, 40, 50 feet of viz.
Yeah, I saw like this just kind of ghostly white
outline.
Yeah.
Right. And it was, and that's about how it starts, about 50 feet. So CJ couldn't see it. unfortunately from his vantage point there, but I did go down there with James and Jackie the dive master from Dive Key West, and she led the way of a little tour. We had about a knot and a half of current, and which was a little stiff, but you know, it was definitely manageable, especially once you got down there on the wreck and could navigate behind the wreck and use it as shelter. But the thing that was really remarkable about this Vandenberg wreck off of Key West was not just the size of it, because I knew that was going to be impressive. The thing that really surprised me, being that it's only been down, you know, a month or two, is the amount of life that we already saw occupying the huge cavernous spaces of the Vandenberg. It was quite impressive. We'll talk about that and more next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, CJ, hanging out with me today. We just got back from the Florida Keys last weekend. You know, one of those cool things. We're driving back US 1 back up to Orlando, and what do we see? A crab crossing the island. And I don't know.
That was really kind of symbolic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of like we were on Crab Island. Because, you know, the Keys are, you know, that is the cool thing I got to say about the Florida Keys. Every time I go down there, it had been a while since I personally had been down there. You had never done this before, ever, which is kind of weird to me, being you only live a few hours away. But you really do get that feeling that you have traveled to a Caribbean island when you head down, especially when you get all the way down to Key West. It feels islandy.
You see iguana.
Exactly.
And scorpions.
And crabs
and
crossing
crabs.
The street. It's kind of unique that way. Now, we went down there for a few reasons. One was to dive the Vandenberg. Now, I was just telling you about this first dive we did, and I went down cruising around the wreck, and if you go and check it out online, you Google the Vandenberg, you'll see in the middle of the shipwreck, they have these massive satellite antennas, and they are huge. I mean, it really doesn't, the pictures that I had seen of the wreck before going down really don't do it justice, but they're like midship, and we swam down there, and there's like a big cargo hold right there by the satellite antennas, and there were just thousands and thousands of fish schooling around inside the wreck and inside the bowl of the satellite dish. And right before the show today, I finally got a chance to take a look at the video footage I shot. I got some pretty good stuff.
Did it come out good?
Yeah, and you see James, who was with us, Jimmy the Helper Boy, or Himi the Helper Boy, was, I got him, you know, doing one of these things where he swam into the school of fish, and he's like going, yeah, buddy, whoa. You know, you can almost hear him underwater yelling, but like swimming through those big schools of fish, which is like, you know, something you see on the Discovery Channel, like swimming through a bait ball kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, I don't know if I'd want to swim through a bait ball.
Well, it's not a bait ball, but it was a school of fish that were congregating, okay. Like a similar thing. And they just part just enough for you to swim through them because you think you're going to hit them. You know, of
right.
course, they just magically
they're
open
slippery
up a
little
space.
Buggers.
They are. They are. But it was really cool. And I was really shocked to see so many fish on the wreck of the Vandenberg this early in its life.
But that's
underwater.
Great. That's awesome.
That's huge. I mean, I don't know what that says from a environmental standpoint. Does it say that, you know, the fish, you know, obviously love this stuff? Or does it say that the fish needed more areas like this to kind of congregate and protect themselves? You know, because they were all, you know, huge balls of small fish. It was like a underwater nursery almost from what we were swimming through. So I don't really know, other than obviously the marine life definitely likes it for what, you know, for what, whatever reason. And is it, you know, I would say that's probably a good thing for the fish in the area, surely giving them a little bit more, you know, habitat to kind of swim around in and, protection from predators and that kind of thing.
Maybe they pretend they're boating.
It could be. They could, you know,
they're in the Navy.
Maybe they consider going on the Vandenberg as like going on a cruise.
Wasn't that a Navy vessel and an Air Force?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, we'll go with
that. I'll go with that. Why not? But yeah, it was an impressive wreck, from the amount of fish life. I can only imagine what it's going to look like a few years from now when it's encrusted with even, you know, much more growth.
Yeah, I got to get back there.
It was definitely, I mean, it looked kind of new, but it actually had a nice, you know, film of growth around it already, you know, where it didn't look like it had just been sank yesterday or anything, but it was cool. And, you know, and if you haven't done much wreck diving, you know, when you swim through these type of contraptions with, whether it's, you know, satellite dishes or down in the cargo hold of a big vessel like this and kind of swim through the, you know, the superstructure, it's kind of like an underwater jungle gym. It's just fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like an obstacle course type of thing as a diver to kind of swim through this stuff and just enjoy it on that level. But then when you throw in all these schools of fish, that really puts the icing on the cake to make it very, very cool. Now, you're just looking at me more and more with an attitude of disgust.
What? Well.
Because you didn't get down because your ears were bothering you on that
rubbing
dive.
It in.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm here for, to make you feel miserable.
Next time. Like I said, I have an excuse to go back.
There you go. You always have something to look forward to, right?
Yep, that's it.
And that's it, real easy for us in Orlando, and it's definitely something you need to put on the list no matter where you're at in the States or on the planet.
Get down now.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We
started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportwear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportwear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master along with CJ. Eric the producer, Bill's son is in helping us out today. Feel free to chime in, 888-88-SCUBA. Reminiscing on our dive of the Vandenberg off the coast of Key West. Dive Key West, by the way, got to give them their props. That was a fine, fine dive operation down there in the Florida Keys. And like I said, it had been quite a while since I'd been doing some diving down in that area. You know, when we first started Scuba Radio just over about 12 years ago, the first, I'd say, 3 to 4 years, I spent most of my diving down in the Florida Keys. I do a lot in Key Largo, especially. And I did go down and do some diving in the Key West, but I really hadn't been back all the way down that far for many years. And I didn't really know what to expect. Of course, they got the Vandenberg down there, and that was definitely something I wanted to get down there and dive. But I was truly impressed with the dive shop, Dive Key West in particular. I mean, you go into that store, it was very upscale, very professionally put together. The folks running that place really run a fine operation. And that marina, the Key West Yacht Club and marina that they take their boat out of, the Reef Hopper, or no, not what was it again?
I don't remember.
But the marina, the facilities there for the divers to clean up after your day of diving with them are some of the best I have ever experienced anywhere.
I'm spoiled now.
Yes. I mean, they had shampoo, free shampoo for you in the showers.
Well, not like I needed it, but you did.
Well, yeah. It was nice. And, you know, and if you're driving down, or say if you're staying up in Key Largo, or you're just going down for a while, it's nice to have a place to really clean up nice before your drive back up north. So I got to give some props to the folks at Dive Key West for sure, and for hosting us there for the Vandenberg. It definitely won't be long before we head back there and do some more of this. We got some stuff to cover here, some unique stories that have kind of been coming across our desk here at the home base of operations that we haven't been able to get out to you because of our travel schedule. That's coming up next. Stick around.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I do like the water.
Oh, water and fish. If you pay half as much attention to me as you do those fish, I'd be the happiest wife in Flatbush.
Give me some water.
All right, so I always have something to look forward to before I actually leave for the dive trip I'm on. Now, we were just in the Keys, and before we left, I had locked down all my final travel arrangements for our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in the Bahamas with Explore Ventures. We'll go into that a little bit more detail a little bit later on the big show, but it's September 26th out of Freeport, and we'll have the same old song and dance routine with our demo week as far as Olympus cameras, Bonic high-definition video cameras, and Oceanic and some Aries dive equipment. Also, we're going to be diving with wild dolphins, but we had a minor change. Our friends from Divers Alert Network, Jeff Myers was going to be on board with us, who works for Dan. We've had to switch it out, and Eric Douglas is taking Jeff's spot to represent Divers Alert Network on that trip. Now, that's not better necessarily, but Eric's a great friend of the show. He has booksbyeric.com if you check him out online. So he's multifaceted in his diving experience and, of course, his work for Dan. And you know, Dan just released their annual diving report. And this is something Eric probably will get into detail for and do maybe a little rundown of some of the stats that Divers Alert Network has been gathering over the last year. They put out this information every year, and it's quite telling as far as how the trends and dive incidents and that kind of thing are being reported, are being managed, how many, that kind of thing. And it's just really interesting information to kind of peruse. And the nice thing about Dan, this is one of the many things that your membership dues go to support projects and information like this and research to make us all safer scuba divers. But the reality is, for the annual diving report for 2008, you don't even have to be a Dan member to get it. They provide this service for free to everyone, just like they do their emergency hotline. Now, as I said many times before, you're kind of foolish to be scuba diving and not at least be a member of Dan, if not going beyond that and taking advantage of some of the insurance offerings that they provide at Divers Alert Network. But they do all this stuff for free, too. And all you have to do is go to diversalertnetwork.org, and you can click on the Dan Annual Dive Report and check out all this information and just see what's happening. It talks about what kind of activity they were doing when people had a problem with, DCS, the bends, that kind of thing, all kinds of interesting statistics that ideally you can look at and kind of say, okay, well, maybe I could learn something from this. And it's free, whether you're a Dan member or not. So go check it out, diversalertnetwork.org, and educate yourself. And once again, if you're not a Dan member and you're a scuba diver, I don't know what you're thinking. I really don't. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever with all the services they provide and coverage that they provide as membership, not to mention the fact that you get, the Alert Diver magazine, which is well worth the $30 or so it costs to be a member of Dan.
And when you wear their hats or T-shirts like I do a lot, you get people come up to you and go, your name Dan?
Exactly.
And no.
It's one of those like code things that divers share. Once you're in our little community and you see the Dan logo, that's something every diver knows what Dan is. And so you can kind of wink at all those other morons that think your name is Dan. It's good stuff.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll go anywhere with you. You are the constant and everything else is variable. You are the constant and everything else is variable. You are the constant and everything else is variable.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, CJ, and Eric, the producer, who is Bill, the producer's son. He came from the loins of Bill.
And a very scary thought.
Yes. And I actually, when I...
Why'd you have to go there?
When I said that out loud, I did kind of throw open my mouth a little bit there. That was kind of weird.
Well, you are the chunkster.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I did blow after our...
Chunks.
Night out there, and what did we do?
We were out in Marathon.
That was the night of the broadcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Saturday night.
Yeah, we hung out with Hillary.
With a 1L.
Hillary with from Captain Hooks and Marathon.
And Ashley.
And Ashley, yeah. But Hillary was the one we talked to last week about possibly being a new Scuba Radio Mermaid.
Yeah, that's right. She sounded interested.
And so we took her out for the official Scuba Radio Mermaid hazing ceremony at the local watering hole Marathon.
We have to test her and see if she can hang.
Well, you know, out how she can handle her.
And she hung.
Yeah, she did. How does she handle her liquid products? Yeah. You know, because you have to be able to work with that as a mermaid. That's one of the prerequisites. So, yeah, we hung out with her. She took us to the watering hole there, and she passed with flying colors. So, I mean, we'll have to talk to Hillary again, assuming she'll talk to us.
I think Jimmy the Helper Boy let some flying colors go, too.
What do you mean?
He
you
hurled.
Think he blew'd?
Yeah, he hurled. Blew'd? He told me he did.
Yeah, but he chunked that night,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
And that doesn't count. I waited until we actually got out on the boat.
I'm the only member of our little power trio that never chunked all weekend.
Really?
Yeah, and I was pounding those liquid libations, too.
Yeah. Well, it's never. You don't want to combine the drinking and the diving, but...
right, you know, the night before. Yeah.
Our curtain call for the next day of diving was evidently just a little bit too early for me. There was some lingering issues, I guess. and I was fine. The first dive I went down, I was okay. I felt a little kind of groggy.
Maybe
you know?
It was the breakfast you consumed.
You know, it could have been, yeah. That egg and biscuit sandwich there in the Florida Keys where, you know, the eggs aren't as prevalent, I guess.
I think it was a drive-through thing.
Yeah. And, but anyway, after the second dive, yeah, we're getting geared up, ready to go for some more lobster and, all of a sudden, I was like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes. And I quickly made my way back to the transom of the boat and leaned over the side while everyone else was kind of
at first,
talking.
I thought you were just admiring the view.
I was. And I was like, can I do this? Can I blow chunks without them actually
silence.
Noticing?
You need like a, yeah.
Silence. Yeah, you need a silencer. And that was the giveaway. So when I leaned over, I could have done it. But when I went,
yeah, besides the fact you're going, oh!
That was the giveaway, really? So I should have turned the radio on first, is what you're saying.
Well, it was on, but it wasn't loud enough to cover up that. God.
Yeah.
You're like a barking seal.
Hey, we got seals over here, guys. Oh, my gosh.
Then I saw it float by.
Well, you know, after I did it, I was fine. I mean, I just had to get it. I had to purge my system, so to speak, and just wanted to do a little chumming. You know, God knows I've done it enough over the years. I've gotten it down to a fine science and know how to manage, you know, getting seasick, at least for
you're
me personally.
You're like an expert at getting seasick.
I've had plenty of experience on how to... You know, make sure I don't end up, you know, blowing chunks all over the dive.
Is that
deck,
a course
that
you can
thing.
Take?
I'll tell you what.
Is that a certification, blowing chunks?
I should contact Patty and see if I could do a specialty course on proper seasick etiquette.
Because it's kind of like abstinence. You know, we know you're inevitably some point going to get sick. You might as well learn how to manage it.
Yeah. Or at least do it with class.
Well.
You know,
is that what you call it?
Well, after the first time, remember the time when I turned around on my back and tried to create like a little water fountain thing?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, see, you know.
Decorative.
It was like projectile. Hey, guys, check me out. Do the Linda Blair.
Does your head spin around?
Yeah.
Does your head spin around, baby?
Yeah. I tried. I tried to make it do that. But, you know, I didn't have that much in my stomach to really kick it up a notch like that. I just like... blue and I was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's go diving.
Yeah,
you know. So, but that's what it happens. It happens. What are you gonna do? Look, we got a lot of stuff to cover on the show beyond you know getting seasick and that kind of stuff. So, hopefully you've already eaten, and if not, we apologize. But
salad. Try the egg salad.
Yeah, we have a ROV to name. You have this weekend. To name a remotely operated vehicle, thanks to our friends at the Nature Conservancy. We'll tell you about that. Also, Mike Ainge is going to join us a little bit later on from seduction.com. That's seduction, S-E-A, Just make sure you put the A in there.
Yeah, I thought we were turning it.
You might get into a whole different kind of website. But he has a really cool new website. Mike, a long-standing friend of our of Scuba Radio, he's going to join us a little bit later on. And if that weren't enough, you know, ministering, God's work underwater. We got that story for you as well. That's all coming up. Stick around.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Yeah, it is all good. You know, when you're underwater, you know, a lot of people think it's great. I do. And evidently, you know, I don't know if I've actually heard someone say this directly to me, but I can understand how, you know, this thing that Tech Clark, a friend of ours who works down there at Pro Dive in Fort Lauderdale, started a new thing because he is, you know, saying that, you know, people have told him that when he goes underwater, they felt closer to God. And I'm kind of like, okay, I could see that. It's, you know, depending on, you know, your religious beliefs or whatever, I could definitely understand somebody saying, you know, you feel closer to God underwater than anywhere else on earth. And that's why he started this thing called Reef Ministries. And I thought, hey, you know what? Despite how you feel about religious, you know, stuff, I actually think this makes a lot of sense. Very unique idea. At the bare minimum, but he's created this new ministry that presents the underwater world from a biblical point of view, offering snorkeling and scuba diving adventures that are Christ-centered, sharing creation science, promoting environmental stewardship and discipline, that kind of thing. And so why not? God bless them.
Well, that's
literally.
It definitely humbles you, you know, when you see the other critters and the beauty of the reefs and
yeah,
whatever structures you're
You know, I think
at.
it's a really cool thing. And you know, he's based out of Pro Dive, like I said, down there in Orlando. I mean, in Fort Lauderdale. So if you go to reefministries.com, you can check out Tech's new project and you know, sign up for this newsletter, be a part of that if you are so inclined. And, you know, stuff like that, you know, when it, you know, like I said, regardless of your religious beliefs or whatever, I kind of find those type of stories very interesting when somebody's putting something together new that kind of connects, you know, the diving world in, you know, a different way. And why not Reef Ministries?
Kind of a cool angle. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
If it gets more people into diving.
Gets more people into diving or feeling more, you know, better about it or whatever. I mean, it is. It is kind of like, you know, godlike in some sense. You know, if you're not into that, well, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter, right? It's still cool. That's the bottom line. All right, we're going to name an ROV. Literally, a remote-operated vehicle. You can name it yourself. We may give you some ideas for that as well. Plus, find out about the seduction website. That's SEA. We already know about the seduction part.
Seduction.
Yeah, seduction.com. That's coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.